now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello, I'm Andy Shilton.
And I'm Lara Lanamy. Welcome to Shout Out.
Today on the show, we talk about the Cube's Gay Sex Tuesday.
Ooh, that sounds interesting. Mm. And we've got Gender Criminal live in the studio with us.
All that and lots more today right here on Shout Out.
I never miss my roll call, please.
No, we're lacking in headphones and Lara's not got a pair on. I'm like,
no, ooh, I'm a professional.
Speakers cut out when you put the mics up. My mum's probably up quite loud though, aren't they?
I can hear half deaf.
So how are you?
I'm good.
You don't look like somebody's just run through a storm. It's terrible.
I like to be easy breezy. It chucked it down. I had a nice big gay umbrella. So I was very happy with that. Yes. But yeah.
I'll be a little jealous. Have you got a big gay umbrella too? Or would you like a big gay umbrella?
I could deal with one, definitely.
I mean, a lot of things sit under the gay umbrella. I love it. Technically, it's my friend's
gay umbrella.
She left it with me. But I was like, I'm going to repurpose this for my own uses. Hopefully, she's not listening to this though.
You've just given away the fact that you nicked her umbrella.
Yeah, I did. Well, I didn't nick it. Like, she just left it at mine. And I'm just like commandeering it until they realise.
Looking after it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm a caretaker. Yeah. You know, I'm nothing but a carer. So how are you, Lucy? Hi
Lara, how are you?
I'm good.
It's been a while. Has it been a while?
I mean,
when was the last time we sat across the desk and gazed into each other's eyes?
Oh, hello, let's get started. Hello.
Except there's like a monitor in between us and two microphones.
Nothing can stand between us, Lucy.
We can do this.
And a certain hammock, yeah.
Andy, we've moved on from that.
Yeah, we have.
We really have. Don't lower the tone.
Well, it's already in the gutter, let's be honest.
And Terry's back. You had the dreaded COVID last week, didn't you?
Last week I did, yeah.
Are you feeling better now?
Much better, thank you.
Yeah. Oh, that's hit so many people recently.
A lot of people taken everyone out.
Like, but bad. Yeah. But now no one's taking COVID tests because they're like, oh.
Well, they don't work.
Do they not?
No. It keeps changing too much.
Yeah, it's like the flu. Yeah. I don't really want to get a flu jab every year, but we're going to end up having to get some kind of flu jab every year because it's going to keep amping up.
Yeah, well, you can. It depends if you have compromised immune system or something, or you're of a certain age, you can.
Yeah, that's true.
Because my parents are forever rubbing it in that they've had a COVID jab, and my mum goes, I haven't had COVID or flu. She never had COVID.
Did not.
She not had the flu in 10 years. I'm like, well, you are 81. So.
That's a blessing.
You should be having the injections. Really. You don't really want to have flu at 81, I think.
Like, I'm so glad I live in a time where you don't get a scratch and then look, you're dead. You know what I mean?
Penicillin.
Yeah, exactly.
Penicillin, baby.
That was discovered by his lab assistant in the end. But yeah,
Oh, really?
Apparently, I might be wrong in that. Don't quote me. But
who is his lab assistant?
I don't know, but wasn't it
it was mouldy cheese or something, wasn't it?
I remember it from school.
They found on cheese. And, yeah. It's not that effective these days compared to new ones because it's been around for so long, lots of things become more resistant to it.
But penicillin, the first kind had to be, that was not, that wasn't the best.
It was a game changer though.
Yeah, it was a game changer. Yeah. It was massive.
So we could do with finding something that does the same with viruses.
Oh, you can't. Viruses work in a different way.
I know. I should know this. I'm talking to someone really close.
That's why we're asking Lara these questions, Andy. Tell us more.
But it would be nice if there was something with the virus.
Yeah, it would be lush. It would be. But the very nature of viruses is.
I mean, have you seen some of the good news around HIV?
Yes.
You can now, I think it's coming very, very soon. You'll be able to get a PrEP injection that lasts 3 months, but they now have one that does a year.
Mm. Didn't someone get cured from it?
Well, they've now found a way to flush the HIV out of hiding in the cells, so the body successfully kills it completely.
Oh, that's
so
amazing.
We're a few years away from an actual cure. After all these years and all that research, it's absolutely brilliant.
That's really good.
And I did have to go and find about 10 sources to make sure it wasn't some rubbish AI thing, but from everything I can see, that's genuine.
No, yeah, as I saw it.
Did you find that? Like, you're surfing around and you get so much rubbish that's like AI generated, and like, you do have to go check what's real and what's not.
No, what's weird is about these videos. Like, I'll watch like a funny video and
what,
like,
video?
A funny video.
Funny, oh.
What do you think? Oh, let's not go there. But yeah, I'll watch a funny video and I'll scroll down and like, all the comments are like, oh, so bad that it's AI. I'm like, what do you mean? I couldn't even tell that it's AI.
No?
Apart from the cat back flipping across the room.
Yeah,
getting launched just because. Okay,
and then rapping along to Ice Ice Baby. Like,
there you go. They're giving it away.
There are some funny ones. I saw one, and you can tell it's AI, but there's a cat like chewing a wire. And then the wire kind of like electric shocks the cat, and the cat just blows up like a fluff ball.
Yeah. Okay.
if only that could actually happen.
I mean, I don't want that to happen to cats.
Well, no. I mean, unfortunately, we'd probably actually kill them. I mean, if it did, then it just blew their fur up like that.
Like in a cartoon.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I love those little cartoon things.
Trouble with AI is on cats, you can't count the fingers because some cats do have like 7 claws.
Yeah, on AI, they don't know how, they can't really regulate the normality.
The problem with cats is, the problem with AI is that cats are evil geniuses. They probably invented it just to fuck with us. Oh, you just sworn. And invented it just to mess with us.
Apologies, listeners.
Because they were sacked, because they were just sick of us filming them at all times and posting videos on the internet.
I think they do rule the world, let's be honest. They get humans to do what exactly they want us to do, which is feed them constantly.
Yeah. My cat, she screams every day, dead on 5 o'clock. Becomes food screaming time.
Well, I know two beautiful cats, Ollie and Zion, and they are the fluffiest, cutest cats ever. Like, they'll come and like screw your hair, but you know when they want food. You know when they like they need.
Yeah, they meow at you and go around your legs.
Yeah,
and,
like they're so cute, and I'm like, fine, I'll feed you, but like let me feed myself first. Like, they don't care.
Oh, no,
about
no, you're not allowed to eat first.
You eating?
You just rent here, Shubin. This is my house.
Honestly, it's their world, and we just live in it essentially. But I'll give it up to them. I was never a cat person until I met these two cats, and I was like, maybe I could become a cat person. Yeah. But I'm more of a dog person, because dogs are actually the care about you.
Well, I'm going to change the subject completely now.
Oh.
And we're going to actually talk about the Cube Cinema and Gay Sex Tuesday.
Yeah, there's just no way you can link.
There's no way. There was no ad lib way to link
from Cube Cast.
Well, there is a way I would, but you know.
Sorry, I would have tried, but yeah. So, and we're not getting the RSPCA as well as Ofcom down.
No, that's the thing. Let's keep it nice and clean.
So
Gay Sex Tuesday, is that like a routine? Like, is that, you know, you have.
I'll have a listen. We're 4 minutes over, so I'm going to play.
You're listening to Shout Out Radio. My name is Bruce, and I'm joined today by Ed Jack from the Cube Cinema here in Bristol.
Hello, how are you?
And by Frank Jaff from Altered Innocence Films in Los Angeles, California.
Hey, how's it going?
So the reason we're having this conversation is because at the Cube Cinema, there's been this thing which is called Gay Sex Tuesdays. The next Gay Sex Tuesday is on Tuesday, the 18th of November at the Cube Cinema here in Bristol, where we get to see Beautiful Mystery.
So Beautiful Mystery is a Japanese film from the early 80s, and it's the first commercial piece of gay erotica to come out of Japan. And it's a very, very strange and interesting take on what's known in Japan as the Mishima incident.
Which is a real life military coup.
Exactly. So a very famous, brilliant novelist called Yukio Mishima basically tried to effect a military coup with the help of a militia that he'd put together in the early 60s. The coup failed and he committed, ritual suicide as a result of that. So a very, very sort of serious real life incident becomes kind of a very weird sex comedy, essentially, which is set in this militia and all of the kind of sexual goings on that happen behind the scenes. So it references the Mishima incident in really interesting ways. So it's a really weird and interesting and funny and sexy and cool film. yeah, it's just like completely, I've never seen anything like it before. I'm really looking forward to hearing people's reactions.
So it has a sort of a queerness about it in that it's a sort of a satire. It's a comedy version of something which is actually very serious. When you describe this, having seen it, what do you imagine is going to be the experience in the room when this is projected in the cinema?
Yeah, it's always interesting seeing how people respond to seeing sex on film. I think some of these films, people have been expecting them to be like kind of corny 70s porn with like kind of, you know, that music, that sort of wah-wah music, which they're not. They're sort of kind of, they're more interesting than that, I think. Like, I take them quite seriously, like, as works of art. And so that's the side of it that these films that has made people, I think, the most uncomfortable, that they can't necessarily laugh at them. Like, they're not watching sort of a silly 70s porno film. They're watching something that's kind of artistically interesting. But Beautiful Mystery is a bit different because it's sort of, it creates a space for that, for laughter, basically.
This is going to be Tuesday, the 18th of November at The Cube. The tickets are £5. In this wider idea, and this is where I want to bring in Frank, these aren't just porn films. These are an artistic endeavour. There's something that happens when we treat these films as films made by filmmakers. What would your thoughts be, Frank, on that?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. So The Cube has screened two of the restored films I've put out, and those are two interesting opposites in a way. The first was LA Plays Itself, which was directed by Fred Halstead, almost meant to be an art film with some hardcore things put in there because that's what Fred Halstead is really interested in, besides the art world. But then on the other side, they've played Equation to an Unknown, which is truly a porn film that happens to be ridiculously full of art. It was just, it happened to be that way. And it was because of the director and because of the director of photography, Francois Abou. Art and porn are just can work together so well, I feel like. And that's usually the types of films I'm trying to restore.
So this is a decision, isn't it? I'm going to go and find these films. I'm going to restore them. So where does that start for you? And your company's been working for 10 years now. So how did you find yourself doing this?
It's kind of one of those things where you make enough friends and then people push you to do things and it's the perfect push. You know, for the Halstead films, I happened to be friends with someone that worked at the Museum of Modern Art and they just restored them and it was kind of a perfect match. For Equation to an Unknown, it was I was working with Jan Gonzalez on his film Knife Plus Heart, and he was working with the Cinémathèque Française on doing these restoration, this particular restoration of the film that they found in the archives. We actually did two restorations on that one because initially we didn't think it would be that popular, so they just did a restoration of the a theatrical print on 16mm. And then after we realized there was such demand for it, we dug deeper and I think Eclair had the negatives. And then, you know, we were able to scan the original camera negatives and that was really exciting. And then with the Brissan films, I work with film historian Jenny Olson and she heads up the Brissan, the Brissan project. And it's dedicated to the preservation of all of his works, including his most famous work, Buddies, which Vinegar Syndrome put out. And we've worked on four restorations so far from his archives. And, you know, we might do a few more eventually. We'll see.
Are we lucky that these films survived? Because they may not have.
Yeah, 100%. Especially one of the ones I did recently, Le Beau Mec. That was literally found in a relative's garage. And, you know, it's still pretty beat up. The restoration isn't perfect, but my God, if you look at that compared to what we used to have, which was VHS rip, it's night and day. And we really did that film was saved. Yeah, it would have died. It would have gotten Vinegar Syndrome and totally would have been unscannable. So yeah, we're certainly lucky to have some of these films.
So as a distributor, is it then a bonus that it also gets shown in public in a cinema in Bristol? Are other cinemas showing these?
It's the best part. It's the coolest thing. I mean, the first time we ever did this was with Equation to an Unknown. We did it on a double feature at the New Art. and we played Knife Plus Art first and then Equation, and the environment in the theater just immediately changed. You know, some people left as the film went on because they were like, oh, it's just porn. But so many people came up to us afterwards and just said, like, that was the best double feature I've ever been in, you know? And it's, you know, because sometimes when you're watching things at home, you get impatient, let's just say that. And in a theater, you're really studying it and you can really appreciate it. And things are, you know, we're also used to watching things on our phones and things, and watching adult films, especially vintage ones where they used to be played, you just get a whole different appreciation for it. And again, the community spirit, you're really meeting other people who would also be interested in, you know, not only the smutty side, but also the arty side. So you're actually bringing this very specific community together. So it's really cool overall.
So Ed, describe how this has been received in Bristol. So what's it been like for you to put this on, and what have you observed in the audience?
Well, it's been received very well. The sales have been, you know, incredible. Two sell out. I've done three and two sold out and one almost sold out.
What's the makeup of the audience? Who's come?
It's a pretty mixed crowd. It's people of all different genders, which is great. So, I mean, someone did email to say in advance of the first one, you know, I just wanted to ask, you know, I'm a woman. Is it okay if I come along? Because I know there'll be gay men there kind of enjoying the film. And it's kind of like, well, that's very, very polite. But, you know, I would never say you can't come into this film because you're a woman. You know, I'm a gay man. I love Shakedown, which is the documentary that we saw, which is about the experiences of queer women. I think it's hot. I think it's interesting. I think it's, you know, artistically cool. I enjoyed it, and I thought it was a great experience, even though I'm not part of that community. And I think that's really important.
It was important to me as a punter to say, actually, there is no shame, and you can come to a cinema as a middle-aged man and be seen to be part of the audience. Do you have any thoughts on that, Ed?
I think absolutely. I mean, I think that hiding away breeds shame. I think that that's just a kind of acknowledged fact. So that's why I think it's so valuable to get these things out there. I really crave different types of experience and like sharing those different types of experience with people. What a crazy and interesting thing that this particular art form, you know, has completely changed. And this thing that just used to be the way that these films were exhibited and was such a sort of important part of you know, cinema, that whole way of viewing films is completely lost. And so how exciting to be able to kind of have that experience ourselves and see how it feels. And so I think it's valuable, and I think it's fun. So why not?
And I would also say to both Frank and Ed, is that underneath all forms of queer joy is something deeply serious. And that's something about the removal of shame in our society. So how does that sound, Frank, that you're promoting queer joy?
I love it. It's one of my favorite parts of my job that I get to say. I think I said something like online a few years ago where I was like, who would have thought I would be distributing gay porn when I got older? Oh yeah, me when I was in high school. You know, I mean, it's just like pretty much something I totally wanted to do, and I'm just like so happy I get to do it. And when it comes to film distribution, one of the principles I go by is if it gives me joy, it's probably giving a lot of other people joy, and I've just kept doing that, and it, you know, it keeps going.
If you've missed those films we've referenced, which is Equation to the Unknown, you can always go and buy them if you go to alteredinnocence.com. I like your tagline. You're an archive of queer coming of age films.
Yeah, it's one of them. Yeah, I have a sub label dedicated to queer restorations, which also include non-pornographic films, things like Wild Reeds by Andrea Teschiné, Wounded Man, Saturday Night of the Baths, which is really fantastic too. A lot of really fun titles. So those are great to explore as well.
Just to say one more time that Beautiful Mystery is at the Cube. It's on Tuesday, the 18th of November at 8 p.m. Tickets are £5. So my thanks to Ed Jack from the Cube Cinema and to Frank Jaff from Altered Innocence. Gentlemen, thank you very much for spreading queer joy in the ways that you do.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks, Bruce. That was really fun.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out podcast.
That's Sam Felt and Crying at the Dance Floor. Wow. It's a remix of an old song, that one.
Well, who hasn't done Cried at the Dance Floor?
Have you cried on the dance floor, have you?
Probably. Night. I've been a lesbian.
That's like the default lesbian clubbing experience.
I was about to say.
Somebody else. There's a reason why that Robin song is so popular. We all know which Robin.
He's dancing on my own.
I'm in the corner watching you kiss her.
So I learnt a lot about lesbians going to the film festival with you, didn't I, Lucy? Lesbian space princess is very, very realistic. Very accurate.
Lesbian space princess.
Yes. Ooh. She gets dumped after day of being together. It's all tears and water.
Really intense 2 week affair. And
I'm like, it's not really like that, is it? And Lucy's like, yeah,
absolutely. It really is. And you think that's the love of your life, really? You think I'm done. Married. Yeah. Like, I can imagine our kids. Look at our little baby's cute feet. And then, like, you're dumped the next day.
And then it's all tears.
In the film, it was a brilliant. If you were a different person and I were a different person, maybe this would work out. I might have had that said to me at some point in my 20s. Yeah.
Well, no, it's not you, it's me, but it's definitely the other way around.
Yeah, it's actually you.
Yeah, that is 100% you. There is nothing about me that would change all on you. Yeah, that's the lesbian way.
Anyway, should we get some news headlines? Yes.
This is Shoutout News. Welcome along.
Bristol is to host the 20th anniversary Africa Eye Film Festival between 14th and 16th of November. Annie Mentor, Festival Director, has said, welcome to our 20th anniversary celebration weekend. It's 2025 and Africa Eye is celebrating 20 years of bringing films from Africa and the diaspora to the Southwest. The task of selecting 8 films from the 200 or so we've screened in our lifetime was a huge challenge, and we hope there'll be one or two you won't be able to resist. One of the films shown at part of the festival is the hard-hitting Timbuktu, which shows life near the legendary medieval city now run by religious fundamentalists. Kidane lives peacefully in the dunes with his family. In town, the people suffer, powerless from the regime of terror imposed by the jihadists determined to control their faith. Music, laughter, cigarettes, even soccer have been banned. Every day, the new improvised courts issue tragic and absurd sentences. Kidane and his family are being spared the chaos that prevails in Timbuktu, but they're destiny changes when he accidentally kills the fisherman who slaughters his beloved cow. He now has to face the new laws of the foreign occupants. Most of the screenings will take place at the Arnold Feeney Arts Centre on Bristol's Harbourside, and a full list of the programme is available at www.africaeye.org.uk.
Them magazine, which specialises in the struggle for LGBTQIA human rights as a part of societal transformation to a more sustainable caring model, meets up with black trans activists who are feeding local governments in the States after the government shut down, bringing much needed respite for people who otherwise struggle without state subsidies. Journalist James Factora writes, "As a black trans woman who does not have a great connection with her family, in many ways I grew up alone and seeking my own resources, building community, building my own family network and a network of support," quoting Gabrielle Souza. "In the face of the recent government shutdown and the subsequent delay in payment of benefits and food stamps, activists are mobilising. Queer and trans food justice organisers are uniquely equipped for this moment, having spent years laying the groundwork for this inflection point. One of the cornerstones of the Okra Project, for example, is the organisation's annual Holiday Grocery Assistance Fund, which provides black trans people with cash for food. This year, recipients will receive $400, twice as much as what the programme usually provides, a decision that was made, quote, in direct response to the rising need that we are seeing and hearing, as Oakwood Project Director of Programmes Max Reggiano tells their magazine. What also makes such queer and trans-led programmes unique is the agency that they grant to people who receive funds and meals. In a similar vein, the grassroots organisation Southern Solidarity, which distributes, quote, food, medical resources and basic needs on a weekly basis to unhoused people in New Orleans and New York, places a focus on protecting the dignity of the people they serve.
The long-standing academic anarchist journal Freedom carries a fascinating editorial this month in which it examines how the fake culture war over supposed free speech on campus has actually been used to close down the left, feminist, transgender activists and disabled people, among others. Punkademic examines how this situation has come about and how right-wing news outlets like The Spectator, Telegraph and Daily Mail have constructed a false narrative about freedom on campuses.
And talking of freedom of speech, B247 magazine, an independent newspaper, reports that the continuing war of words over transgender access to public space has reignited in Bristol after several more intemperate people tried to intimidate trans members of the Bristol Council, including both Labour and Green members of the chamber. In response, Green councillors held up placards affirming that trans women are women. B247's Adam Postans named two of the hecklers as Wendy Stevenson and Elaine Hutton. In addition, Ms. Hutton made unsubstantiated claims about alleged damage caused by, quote, trans activists in a venue in Brighton. Explaining why Green and Labour councillors had walked out of the previous public debate, Councillor Tony Dyer said, quote, the council listens to all views and concerns raised by citizens. But whilst gender-critical beliefs are protected under the Equality Act 2010 as a philosophical belief, this does not mean that other people must remain in a space where they feel offended or distressed by those views. Whether to remain in such a space is a matter of personal, individual choice for councillors or indeed anyone else to make for themselves, he said.
Scene magazine QX reports that Dr. Susan Croft is curating a new exhibition looking back at the 50 years that have passed since the formation of the very first gay theatre festival in 1975. Radical Rediscovery, Homosexual Acts and Beyond is the name of the exhibition, taking place at the London Performance Studios from 6 November to 14 December, open 11 till 5, Friday to Sunday. Dr. Croft writes, 1975 saw Britain's first gay theatre festival. Hosted by Interaction at the Almost Free Theatre in Soho, it started with productions of 5 plays, all by white men, most of them American. But such was its success that, with queues around the block, it was twice extended. More plays were added, it moved to a local pub theatre and then to the ICA.
And finally, ever since Susie Orbach wrote Fat is a Feminist Issue, there has been a large amount of mutual solidarity between the feminist and queer movements and the body acceptance movement. From celebrations of dyke butchness to the bear scene within gay male circles, there is a resistance to body fascism, which sometimes appears in the LGBTQ community and which is a form of internalised homophobia. Now comes the news reported on Nation Radio in South Wales that Luke Littler, the darts breakthrough who has a love of kebabs and does not visit the gym, has won the coveted Sexiest Athlete in Sport award. He left behind such big names as Jude Bellingham, Tyson Fury and even NFL star Travis Kelce. According to the mostly women surveyed, attraction is not about looks alone. They were particularly charmed by Mr. Littler's confidence, sincerity and approachability. This is exactly what, despite his young age, makes him a crowd pleaser, not only amongst darts fans, but now beyond as well.
Thanks for listening. We will have more news same time next week, but why not check out our website over the weekend for more stories and for links to the wider LGBTQIA media. You can find us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For more Shoutout News, this has been Terry Starr
and Lucy Potter.
Shout Out News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
For more information about Shout Out Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
A bit of Isaac and Always on the Run. Ooh.
Always on the Run sounds like my hopes and dreams.
Oh, don't you start.
No, then you said. Oh. But, you know, that was actually a pretty good song, Andy. I liked it. It was very ceremonial. And also,
Do you know, Lucy was picking on me last week in on your behalf.
Good. You need to be kept in check.
Yeah. What's your usual track selection?
I just randomly picked track. This studio's a lot bigger than the previous one. And when we were in the previous building, you had to have the song because there just wasn't physically enough room. So you had to play a song to get your news team out and get your guests in, etc.
Oh, That's where it
comes from. And now we kind of carry it on because the show works that way. It gives you a bit of a break so you can be talking a long time.
It's good to have a wiggle in between chats.
Yeah. But it's also nice because we get to feature local artists and artists that send us their songs. I think it's really nice for us to be able to do that.
We found a few corkers come through over the last year or two, haven't we?
Plenty.
We've got some good talent in Bristol.
Mm. Bristol and Southwest is a hotbed.
It is
of
a hotbed.
Immaculate talent. Southwest is best. Sorry for anyone else who's listening who's not in Southwest, but like it is. Southwest is best. I will fight with other regions in England about this. I have so many notes.
No, speaking of phenomenal talents,
that was smooth.
Thank you. We are now joined by Rue, aka Gender Criminal.
Hello, everybody.
People are being nice to me on air, so no, we're always nice, aren't we?
We're taking the mickey out of each other, but we're always nice to the guests.
Oh yeah, we're always nice to the guests. Yeah. Everyone else is free range. Yeah, free range.
As long as your phone's on silent, because if it rings, we do take the mickey there.
Yeah.
Oh, my phone's on do not disturb, honey. Sorry to everyone who is listening who tries to message me. It's always on do not disturb.
So, welcome to Transformative Joy. That's the title of this little segment. I want to start by hearing about who is Gender Criminal and how did the dragish persona get curated and come to life?
So Gender Criminal isn't really an alter ego, is more of an ultra ego. When I started doing drag, I was really interested in, especially as a trans person coming in and performing drag, like what is my experience of gender here? How am I pushing gender? And I was like, how am I pushing this experience? And I was like, with my drag sister at the time, we were like, okay, we just want to perform ourselves, but ourselves more confidently. And Gender Criminal came about from a residency that I applied for with House of Savile in Queen Shilling in 2022. And I got a phone call before the first show from the house mother who said, hey, so you know how you're meant to start like next week? How would you feel about performing tomorrow and coming up with a number in 12 hours? And I was like, I would feel great. That would definitely be a really good idea.
And was that really what you were thinking? Does it sound like it?
I am such a yes man. Like, I'm like, do you know what? Yeah, sure. And then I'm in it and I'm like, and I'm like, I'm having fun. I promise I'm having fun. I'm so grateful. This is my stress. And it is so much fun. But yeah, Gender Criminal, the name came about because at the time I identified as non-binary. And like, I'm now a trans man, but non-binary people are not legally recognized. And so I was like, so non-binary people are technically gender criminals. And so I would say we're in the time now where all trans people are categorized as gender criminals. And the moment that trans people are liberated, then maybe I'll have to change my name. Mm. So then
it's a cool name. I think it's the most perfect name that describes.
And it might well have stuck by then, anyway.
I love it. It's a great name. I actually remember those shows. I didn't know that was your first time ever doing it, because I remember going to that show and it was incredible. You were on the trapeze, like
on an aerial
hoop.
So you saw the very first Our Mycelium.
It was gorgeous. I can't tell you, everyone, I fell in love with Rue when I saw that first performance, because it was so ethereal, so beautiful, so palpable, and the person you were doing it with was also gorgeous as well. And it was just, I think that kind of showed me how much beauty in this, I guess, community we have. Like, and I don't know, I've been in love with you ever since. Okay, that sounds like a confession, everyone, but
we've only orbited recently, but I'm such a huge fan of you as well. So it's always nice when people are like, I'm a huge fan. I'm like, I'm a huge fan. No, this is great. Thank you for being part of that crowd. That was such a special moment.
It was. And I guess I want to talk about you being now a daddy. Sorry, let me be more specific. You're the dad of House of Busey.
Yes.
So how, talk to me about that.
How did it happen? It all happened like quite organically. So I applied for an arts-based life-space residency in the island, which is an amazing scheme where you have free residency space and you also can do a showcase, you can do an event. And I applied for this at the beginning of 2023 and then I got it and I was like, great. And I was like, oh my God, now I've got to make something happen. I've got to make a show. And then at the time, my drag mother had said, my Mycelium, my mushroom number would be a really good beginning or end to a show. And so I messaged a few of my friends and I was like, gang, I am not ready to make a solo show yet. I want to make a group thing. And I got like some of my nearest and dearest, most spectacular like collaborators that I'd worked with on other projects before, all trans. And I was like, I really want to make a show where we explore trans experiences, where we do it really authentically, where we don't shy away from rage or from the pain of it. I want cis and straight people to come into these spaces and to really feel with us. And that's how Transform was born. Mm. And Transform is a show which is kind of like a tranified version of the Magic School Bus, where you like go inside the trans body and each artist brings a bit of the body to their journey. And then we did that first run of the show in the island. We also were commissioned by Creative Youth Network with a micro commission to show it in the station. So without those two things, that show would not have happened. And then that's how the house was born. Like, was basically like just this group of people who really trusted me and put in so much work, so much unpaid work into making this happen, and still trust me with projects and trust me with direction. And it's a real, real honor because when you're facilitating creative spaces, it's a very intimate place, and people are bringing hopes and dreams and aspirations and like alter and ultra egos and all of these kinds of things. And particularly working with the trans community as well. Like we've got many things that we have to work through. Like there is a lot that we hold. So having these spaces and having House of Busey, like especially for all of us during like the Supreme Court announcements this year, has been such a lifeline. So that's how it started. And then I was like, I want to do more things. And then I founded a trans open mic that was happening in Cloak, which was one of our DIY queer venues. It's no longer with us. From there on, we've just kind of, as we're going along, growing, and I have more schemes and ideas. Like there's so many stories and worlds that I want to build for trans creatives to like come and play in, but it's just I need to be slow and steady, and I get very ahead of myself. Is that what you want?
No, because I can completely understand why you do, because again, I know it sounds like I'm trying to gas you up, but I remember I came to Transform.
What a phrase.
I know.
you up.
Here we are. I'm from London, you know, I mean, got to be hardcore. No, that's not even the most hardcore. Anyway, so I was sat in the crowd of Transform and I remember thinking, if all the cis people that were against, you know, trans rights and stuff could just sit here and see how beautiful it is, how artistic, how creative, how much resilience and, you know, the artistry here, then I don't get how they could disagree with this identity. Do you know what I mean? Like,
That's very kind.
Sat there because I felt that.
I would really love to be able to take this show into places around England where there is no queer culture, where it's like, it's very hostile, and do a hate crime tour and like get it Arts Council funded. Like that would be great.
That would be wonderful. I generally think it educates people that you are humans, like at the very core of everything, you're humans living and breathing and loving in the exact ways that everyone else is. And so it made me feel like a part of you, like the mycelium bit.
Well, we are all the mycelium. Yeah. And also like no matter who you are, we all share similar experiences and emotions we go through as human beings. That feeling of isolation and like having a support network ripped away from you. You don't have to be queer to have experienced that. Like I know there was actually a straight woman who came up to me at the end of one of the shows who said, I'm not from your community, but your story, I have been there. And I just want to say like, thank you. And that's the beauty and power of art, is that it draws across so many different experiences to come to like that core root of what is human, away from all of like the contextual happenings, which then forms that. And then you're like, oh yeah. Like,
yeah. The brilliant thing about it I found was that you went from this place of, like, you brought in so many different emotions. It was joy, it was happiness, it was sadness. I've never been so emotionally dysregulated but happy about it.
Welcome to one of my shows.
Literally. And I just want to talk how that feels like a form of resistance to you. Like, why do you take us through that journey? And like, why does that, why is it resistance in your own way?
I'm going to be completely honest and I'm going to say it's kind of a selfish thing. Because as like artists and as performers, like I've, like there is particularly under capitalism, a big pressure to always be feel good, to sell entertainment, right? And I think it's a real discredit to the human experience if we don't try and examine the balance of it, because like humanity, like life, nature, all of it is about balance. There is you have to have joy and grief to understand all of it, and grief in itself as well is such a powerful place. Like I'm a death witch and I'm so fascinated by death and grief, and I've had a lot of it in my life. And if we were like, yeah, I think if we're able to turn towards darker emotions and hold everyone, and that not just means other people holding you more safely, but you taking responsibility of, you're like, okay, like how can I hold you a bit more safely? Then yeah, you're able to relate to each other so much more, especially with things like grief. Like whenever I'm like having a conversation with someone who is so far away from my way of life, right? One of the things that often people ask me questions about is my chronic fatigue, and my chronic fatigue is linked to bereavement of my father. And then we immediately start talking about death, and I ask them about their experiences with death and their experience with grief. And like going through all of the emotions and also like going through darker emotions is incredibly powerful and unifying. It's connecting because it's removing away that, oh, we have these disagreements or misunderstandings or mistranslations because of X, Y, and Z. And you go, right, you've got someone that you care about. You've got someone that you love. I have someone that I care about and I love. And we've both moved through these same things. And yeah, there's just like, yeah.
Just exploring different types of emotions and giving space to that.
More the, where are the universal human truths that we can all connect on, and how can we use art provoking emotion to be able to get to that?
I love that. And I guess my question now is, like, when you look at trans and non-binary representation today, what stories or images do you still feel that are missing, and how does your art kind of fill those gaps?
Okay, so I'm going to answer this. There's two ends of this. One, I think there are so many gaps that the community that I've built so far hasn't filled yet. And that's something I really want to work on and develop over the next year. So we'll get onto that in a second. But what it has done, so the reason why House of Poussé exists is because in Bristol, we have like such a rich and diverse integrated trans creative community. But I was like, okay, I want a dedicated space where also we can be anti-palatable and we can be really political. We didn't have that in Bristol.
No, we didn't.
And I was just like, all right, we need a space for trans people. And now it's happened. And there are so many amazing groups that are doing grassroots community work now who are building that community as well. There's the Trans Femme and Trans Masks Collectives. Obviously, there's Trans Pride. There's just so many other micro groups, which I'm sorry I haven't dropped you all, but like plugged into you all. You're brilliant. And the other end of that is like, there is like definitely a pipelining issue for folks, particularly global majority and black and global majority creatives in Bristol, and disabled creatives. We have like a variety of different access needs in our crew, and something which we've been in constant discussion with is like for disabled performers accessing stages. It would be really great for venues to continue opening up those spaces of development and talking to community to be able to make adjustments and improvements and stuff where we can. Stories which are really missing right now as well. Like we're missing trans people who don't pass. We're missing trans people who are not like pretty and perfect and polished. We're missing trans people who don't fit into this kind of like really neat public eye A-list trans celebrity experience, which I obviously, like the folks who are advocates and representatives of our community from those spaces are so important. We need them as well. We really need them. But something which we did when we were trying to liberate during the gay liberation movement was the stories and the experiences of those from our society who weren't as clean, weren't as neat, weren't as palatable, sex workers at the time, and then global majority people as part of it, but also unhoused people, like people who do really struggle with like maintaining relationship with this wider society that we've created. Like what the trans liberation movement is trying to work out is how do we ensure that, like, how do we work on this communication issue, right? Because it's literally what it is, yeah, there are so many people who have all of these different experiences who are left behind in these movements of progress. But that's also a whole societal shift that needs to happen, because it's not just trans people within those, like, more marginalized or more misunderstood communities. It's also, like, yeah, like the unhoused community in general, like,
yes,
people who don't have a stake in society, who
you need to encompass all of those voices.
Exactly.
And I love that. So we are, unfortunately, I could talk to you forever. I honestly could, and I have done that, but we are wrapping up. So I do want to quick, what is next for you? And give us your handles and let us know where we can find you.
Okay, so what's next for me is I'm running my first solo show at the end of the month. That whole thing where I was like, I'm too scared to run my own solo show.
Do it.
I'm running my solo show at the end of the month. I'm producing and directing and making, and I'm doing it all. It's my favorite thing. But yeah, it's the 25th and 27th of November in the cells in the island where we did the first transform. It's called Arcelium. It's an exploration of authentic connection and belonging, and using mushrooms and mycelium networks to try and understand our mistranslations.
And where can we find out more about that? Because I need to book onto that now.
On Head First.
Okay.
It's on Head First on the last week of November, on the Tuesday or the Thursday. You can also find out more information on my, obviously, Meta, but my Instagram, @gender_criminal. And if you also would like to make sure that a starving artist eats more regularly, I have a Patreon, which you can support for as little as £2 a month. And yeah, on there you get access to, like, more of my creative process and more authentic thoughts and musings.
Oh, wonderful. I'm so glad we've had you on. I can't wait to see your show. I'm gonna book onto it. Definitely bring my friends and my, you know, people I'm dating. I'll definitely bring everyone I can.
Are you sure you want to bring the emotional roller coaster whiplash?
I actually do. But thank you so much. Well, you know, mistakes are made, but, like, I think it's gonna be great, and I can't wait for the emotional roller coaster. Thank you so much, Gender Criminal. Rue, you've been incredible. Thank you.
It's been lovely having you on, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. So are you gonna go be a mummy or a daddy, or would you?
Do you want to be
a mama?
I don't know. I actually don't know. I'm still trying to find whether I'm a mama or dada. Or dad, mama or dada. I don't know if I'm a mummy or daddy. Like, I don't know. I feel
or
like
are
I'm,
you an auntie?
Yeah. You know what I mean? I feel like I can
give them back at the end of the day type of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I feel like I have daddy energy, but then I'm like, I don't want the responsibility.
Oh, you're an uncle.
Yeah.
Oh, is it a common theme, that what you're talking about, where you're a dad of...
So, if you're founding a space or you're holding a house, then, yeah, you're like you can be a dad or a mother or whatever. But I'm not gonna lie, House of Busey family organization dynamics are so strange. I'm the dad, but also I got my sister in there, also got my brother in there, also got a few children, like
that's what I do love
this
about
this. Steph grandma for us.
Savage. Sauvage. What, don't worry, Steffi, you know, you're the uncle. So
I'm
yeah,
the uncle.
You're the older uncle.
Older uncle.
Yeah,
great uncle.
Great uncle. Yeah. You are.
I've got one really important question. When is Transform coming back? Because that was so good.
I know. That's not happened.
No,
it will come back next year. We're going to do it next year. 100%.
Don't say it's the last one.
As with any creative endeavor, make sure that you are coming up or you're supporting in whatever way you can, because you don't know when it is going to be the last time.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, well, you have to make sure you come back and tell us. Yeah. Come talk about it.
Oh my
back.
God, I would love to.
Yeah, with your family.
Yes. Oh my God, all 12?
With some of your family.
Yeah, I'll bring some of them.
No, I think it would be beautiful to feature more of your, and to hear about their stories and how you supported them, because I think we need to band together, as I said, as a community, and I think it's beautiful when we do and we support each other, and I want it, more joy, transformative joy in this situation, you know?
Yeah.
Up in here.
Drag's changed a lot over the years as well.
Drag?
Yeah.
I mean...
It's very different these days to that. You go back to, like, 60s and 70s, it was...
Well, it's the RuPaulification of it all. I do a drag history workshop called, like, Anti-Capitalist Drag History, and we'd look at, like, Lily Savage and, like, the proper 80s, like, trash
queen. I did like Lily savage.
Lily's
though.
Brilliant. I love the disgusting, like, yeah, not grotty Northern Queens. I'm not, like, personally, whilst I respect and love the artistry of pageant drag, which is what RuPaul is, it's not the one that I would, like, always go for and be like, wow, because, like, it is amazing. I could do it. I'm not a glamour king. I'm rough around the edges. I draw a little moustache on, and I'm like, that's done for me.
He was also just good as Paul O'Grady, to be fair. I mean, he was a very funny guy, you know.
Oh, is that who it was?
Yes, Paul that O'Grady. Was the, yeah, it was yeah. The college, yeah.
Yeah, he was.
Oh my God, Lara, me.
He was a drag, no, he, like, honestly, look up Paul O'Grady's history in the 80s.
No, he I knew was he was, so, he did drag.
No,
I knew
no, but he was in riots and stuff, yeah. Like, he resisted police, like, he was a cool guy.
Oh, I do. I did love a bit of Paul O'Grady, though, mm-hmm. Especially his little dog show.
He was a massive patron for Bassy Dog's Home, wasn't he?
Yeah, yes. The little doggos. But anyway, back to it.
With, like, 1 minute remaining, traitors. Did the right person win?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Do you? Yes. Yes, I think the right person won, only because he did it. So everyone was fooled by him, and he was that.
He was a terrible traitor, but he was amazing. Worked.
He was amazing because he was so bad, and I don't know if he did it on
purpose.
Come here,
you've got hair.
Yeah, well, do you watch Traitors?
No, but I got asked to audition for the first season of it a couple of years ago.
Oh, did you? Wow.
Yeah, and I did not do it, and I'm so glad that I didn't, because I could not survive on reality TV.
It's not even the rare, it's the human chess of it all. Like, you're there being like, can you not say, he laughed when they asked him to say, are you a traitor?
Yes, he did, yeah. Well, that's what I mean about him being terrible at
win?
It.
How do you still win?
He was great, anyway, that's it for this week. If you want to hear this show or any others, indeed, tell I'm not feeling well, can't you? Any of the previous ones are all available as podcasts on all good podcast providers.
Or listen again or download them from our website, shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Next week, it might be panto time.
Oh, no, it's not.
So, bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.